What do we dislike so much about a person who is a bully? Now, I know you could probably think of a time, maybe it was years and years ago, maybe when you were in school, that you had to contend with this person that was a bully, somebody who was pushing you around, somebody who was picking on you. Well, my question is, how did you deal with that particular person? You know, some people would say, well, I avoided them. Some people say, well, it eventually came to a head and this challenge took place. But most of us, at least in some way, have had to deal with somebody like that. And that may not have been a physical type altercation. There's different kinds of bullies. There are those who are, I would call them physical bullies. There are those who are also mental bullies. They're verbal bullies. But each and every one of us at some time in our life have had to deal with somebody just like that. Well, today we're actually going to take a look at a bully and what took place, what happened to him in the Word of God today. Out of the book of Esther, chapter 4, we're going to look at Queen Esther's faith and courage in the midst of dealing with a bully. Grab your Bible, come on back. We'll see you in just a moment. Hey folks, welcome to the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church of Oak Ridge, North Carolina. We're so glad that you're joining us today. If you have your Bible, please go ahead and turn with me, if you would, over to the book of Esther, chapter 4. That's Old Testament passage. Esther chapter 4, and we're going to look at this particular chapter. Now, as we began our Bible study this evening, I asked you about what it was like during a time when you had to deal with a bully, whether that was somebody who was verbally abusive to you, whether that was somebody who actually was using their strength and stamina to lord over you or to just simply push you around for whatever reason. You know, oftentimes a bully doesn't necessarily have a reason other than maybe you look like a vulnerable person in the crowd. Well, today we're going to take a look at a bully in the book of Esther, chapter 4, a fellow by the name of Haman. A lot of us are familiar with this particular passage, but so much that we can actually learn from these particular passages. Look with me, if you would, at Esther chapter 4. We're going to begin reading in verse 1. Esther chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. It said, "When Mordecai learned all that had happened, he tore his clothes and he put on sackcloth and ashes and went out into the midst of the city. He cried out with a loud and bitter cry. He went as far as the front of the king's gate, for no one might enter the king's gate clothed with sackcloth." Verse 3, "And in every province where the king's command and decree arrived, there was a great mourning among the Jews with fasting, weeping, and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. So Esther's maids and eunuchs came and told her, and the queen was deeply distressed. Then she sent garments to clothe Mordecai and take his sackcloth away from him, but he would not accept them. Then Esther called Hathach, one of the king's eunuchs, from whom he had appointed to attend her, and she gave him a command concerning Mordecai to learn what and why this was. Verse 6, "So Hathach went out to Mordecai in the city square that was in the front of the king's gate, and Mordecai told him all that had happened to him and the sum of money that Haman had promised to pay into the king's treasury to destroy the Jews. He also gave him a copy of the written decree for their destruction, which was given at Shushan, that he might show it to Esther and explain it to her, and that he might command her to go into the king and make supplication to him and plead before him for her people. So Hathach returned and told Esther the words of Mordecai. Then Esther spoke to Hathach and gave him a command for Mordecai. And all the king's servants and all the people of the king's provinces know that any man or woman who goes into the inner court to the king who has not been called, he has but one law, to put all to death except the one to whom the king holds out the golden scepter that he may live. Yet I myself have not been called to go into the king these 30 days. So they told Mordecai Esther's words. Verse 13, and Mordecai told them to answer Esther, "Do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the other Jews. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, "Go gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me. Neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will fast likewise. And so I will go to the king, which is against the law. And if I perish, I perish." So Mordecai went his way and did according to all Esther commanded him. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, as we come to you now, we're grateful, we're thankful for the opportunity in which we have to be able to gather around your word. Lord, we pray that you will teach us today about your great sovereignty. Lord, I pray that you will teach us today about having courage in the midst of our faith to be able to be used in your hands as a servant of the Most High God. Lord, today I pray that you will just help us as we look forward to a new chapter, a new year that's about to dawn upon us. Lord, may we truly look over this past year. May we not dwell on our failures, but Father, may we move forward with new hope in this new year. To help us, Lord, as we study your word. Be with this your messenger, that you and you alone would truly be high and lifted up. For Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, folks, you know, in our story today, Queen Esther was the Jewish queen of Persia, and she was called on to deal with a bully by the name of Haman, who plotted to destroy the Jews. Now, that's kind of what led up into the passage that we're looking at today. You know, Haman just completely hated the Jews, so he decided that what he was going to do was he was going to find a way to be able to legally put them to death, and he was very good at what he did. In fact, he held a pretty high position. Now, in our story today, we're also learning about and talking about Mordecai. So, you know, a lot of folks would sit back and say, well, you know, what was Mordecai's relationship in regard to this particular situation, and particularly with Esther? Well, yeah, Esther is the daughter of Mordecai's uncle, so that makes Esther and Mordecai first cousins. When Esther was an orphan, Mordecai adopted her and essentially raised her. So that's the relationship. You can see that this goes a little bit deeper than not just their friends one with another and so forth. I mean, this was a much deeper situation than most people would know. They're actually family. So, you know, that was why they felt like that there could be this openness there. So that's, you know, understand that when you're thinking about Mordecai and Esther, essentially they were not only first cousins, but Mordecai raised Esther. Now, Mordecai had received some news that caused him some great grief and distress. And what that news was that Haman essentially had gotten, you know, permission and actually, for lack of a better word, like legal rights by which to put all of the Jews to death, which that included Mordecai and that included Esther also. So when Mordecai heard this, he was just torn. If you'll see that in verses 1-3 of our text, you know, it said that he tore his clothes. He was mourning in sackcloth and ash, and it says that he went out essentially to the, you know, to the gate. He went as far as basically he could in the condition that he was in. Now, obviously, news like this would reach Esther the queen, and people would see. They would be talking about what was taking place. And what was going on. So his response, you know, Mordecai's response to this particular news caused him great grief and mourning To the point where he felt like, hey, you know, Haman has got us in a predicament to the point where he is going to extinguish the whole Jewish nation, and it's not going to be a problem in doing so. So think about, you know, who Haman was, and why it was that he wanted to destroy all of the Jews essentially that were living in the province at that particular time. Now, you know, Haman was the son of Hammedatha, who was an Agite, and after Haman was appointed as the principal minister of the king, and all of the king's servants, you know, he required them to bow down to Haman. Now, what happened was Mordecai said, "I'm not going to do that." He says, "I only have one God. I will only bend the knee to one God." So Mordecai refused to bow a knee, you know, to Haman or the king. Now, that sounds familiar. Sounds a lot like Daniel. When we get up into those particular passages. So what happened was Haman was angered by this, and knowing that Mordecai was of Jewish nationality, Haman convinced the king to allow him to have all of the Jews in the Persian Empire killed. So in other words, it's like, oh, okay, well, if that's what you want to do, fine, you know, go ahead and do that. You know, I'm giving you permission. So at this point, it looks somewhat desperate for the folks that are of Jewish nationality. Now, there was one thing that was taking place that was known and understood, and what that was that Esther was of Jewish nationality, and she was the queen. So, you know, he began to think, well, you know, maybe there's something that Esther could do. You know, I thought about this, and when I looked at this particular passage, I realized that throughout all history, there have been people who have tried to exterminate, or they have greatly persecuted the Jewish people. Why do you think that is? I mean, when we look at it, you know, so often people sit back and say, well, what is somebody's motive behind why they do what they do? Well, you know, this may not be the exact great answer. This is the gospel according to Roy, but the one thing that we know is that the Jewish people are God's chosen people. So, you know, from the beginning of time, Satan has been against God or anything that is godly or anything of God. And then particularly knowing that the Jewish people are God's chosen people, there's this great attack that has been provocated on them by evil itself. Over the years, they've tried to, you know, many people throughout history have tried to persecute or just completely exterminate the whole Jewish nation. But by the hand of God, they still exist, and they will continue to do so. Now, I'm a firm believer in what the Bible tells us and said from the days of old, that those who bless the Jewish people will be blessed, and those who curse the Jewish people will be cursed. I still believe that that holds true in history today. You know, if anything, we need to be on Israel's side in our society today. And I hope and trust and pray that you are as well. So when we think about that, here was Haman. You know, he did all these things. He knew that Mordecai was Jewish. So he said, well, I know what we'll do. What we'll do is not just him, but I'm going to do whatever we need to do to be able to just try to take this guy out, no matter what the circumstance or situation is. So as Mordecai went in sackcloth and ash, our scriptures tell us that Esther heard about it. She got together some clothing to take down there so that essentially Mordecai could enter her presence and talk to her to find out what was taking place and going on. Mordecai refused that, but what they did was they created a dialogue through the messengers. And remember, Esther sent a messenger down to Mordecai with some clothing. Well, Mordecai says, "No, I'm not gonna do that. But here, you take this information back to Esther," and that information that was carried back to her was about Haman's evil plot that he was planning to exterminate the Jewish people. Now, you know, she had or should have some concern about that herself because she was also of Jewish nationality. So, you know, we find in our scripture text in verses 4 through 11, the dialogue that had begun to take place between Mordecai and Esther. And it's interesting. If you go back with me, let's begin at verse 4. Verse 4 said, "So Esther's maids and eunuchs came and told her and the queen was deeply distressed. So the news that she heard, she realized, affected her as well. Verse 4 continues, then she sent garments to clothe Mordecai, to take his sackcloth away from him, but he would not accept them. Then Esther called Hathach, one of the king's eunuchs from whom he had appointed to attend her. She gave him the command concerning Mordecai to learn what and why this was. In other words, Esther wanted to find out what it was that was distressing Mordecai so bad. So Hathach went out to Mordecai in the city square, which is where he was at the king's gate. And then Mordecai told him all the things that had happened to him and the sum of the money that Haman had promised to pay to the king's treasury to destroy the Jews. And then he also gave him a copy of the decree for that destruction, which was given at Shushan, that he might show it to Esther and explain it to her. In other words, he wasn't just saying, this is something that I've heard through the grapevine. He's like, here's actually the written decree that says Haman has the right to be able to destroy the whole Jewish nation. And oh, P.S. Esther, by the way, that means you as well. So essentially, once Hathach gets this information, he goes back and he tells Esther, what is taking place, what the story is with what Haman is trying to pull off, or what Haman is trying to do. And then verses 12 through 14, it's interesting because this is often classified as words of encouragement that Mordecai gave Esther. Now, it depends on how you look at it and how you take it. Look at verse 12. It says, so they told Mordecai Esther's words, and Mordecai told them to answer Esther, do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all of the other Jews. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Now, a lot of people would say those were words of encouragement. Those might have been words of encouragement to kind of help move Esther to some action, which I could see that. I don't necessarily think in my heart I would look at those as words of encouragement. I would look at those as more words of truth and fact. But what Mordecai essentially was basically telling Esther is, don't you dare think that just simply because you were the queen and that you were in the castle that you're going to be free from the persecution and the death of the Jews that is about to take place. Now, I love something else that was stated in that verse. There was something else that I really love that we read Mordecai actually tell Esther. Let's go back again in verse 14. It says, for if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. Did you get that? Mordecai wasn't necessarily thinking that that God wasn't going to do anything. I don't believe that Mordecai felt like that God was going to allow the Jews to be completely exterminated from the nation. And I loved his attitude, because in verse 14 he said this. He said, relief and deliverance is going to arise for the Jews. If it's not from you, it's going to be from someplace else, because God is going to take care of us. But if you think that you're going to sit idly by and be free of the persecution and potential death, then you've got another thing coming. So I see that being some words of encouragement, that something needs to happen, that Esther needs to do something. And then as we read in verse 14, this verse has been used many, many times in many different ways, maybe even in your life. But the thing about it that's so cool is, look at the last sentence of verse 14. It says, yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. And you know what basically he's saying there? Basically what he's saying is, you know what, Esther, maybe, just maybe, the reason that you are the queen is simply because God has placed you in that position for such a time as this, for you to be able to be the catalyst to do something that is good, to do something that is wholesome, and to do something that is right. And the question is, are you going to do it? You know, and then what happens is, after Esther hears this, she makes a request of not only Mordecai, but all of the Jews that were living in Susa before she would appear before the king. Now, it's interesting that in her dialogue, she begins to say, look, the law doesn't allow me to go into the presence of the king. The law says that if somebody should go in to see the king, that the law states that unless you were summoned, that person would be put to death. There's only one exception to that rule, that if you presented yourself before the king and the king extended the scepter, then the king says, okay, you don't kill the person that is standing, you know, at the doorway. You allow them to come in. My extending the scepter says it's all right for them to enter. I want to hear them. I want to spend time with them, whatever the case may be. So Esther knew. She said, she even told Mordecai, she said, for the last 30 days, the king hasn't summoned me. There's no summons on my horizon. So for me to actually go into the presence of the king uninvited would be to break the law, and the penalty for that is death. So knowing this, Esther makes a request of Mordecai as well as all the Jews that were living in Susa. She says, I want you to go out there. By the way, this is verses 15 through 17. She said, I want you to fast and I want you to pray. I want you to pray, fast, and mourn for 3 days and three nights before I go into the presence of the king. Now, what Esther had decided at that particular moment was, I am going to go into the presence of the king, and if he doesn't accept me and I die, then so be it. I'm doing what I feel is right to do. Now, when we consider this particular story, and we know the end of it, I want to fast forward a little bit, because we know that in our passage, or if you've kept on reading, or if you're familiar with this, that as Esther presented herself, the king indeed extended the scepter. Esther was allowed to have that audience. And I don't want to get too far ahead to spoil anything for you if you haven't gotten to that particular part in your reading yet. But God did a great and incredible thing through Esther. I love that particular passage that says, maybe, perhaps you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Folks, my question to you is this: do you believe that God places you in particular circumstances, and he places you with particular people because he's got some work for you to do there? By the way, one of the things I've mentioned to us before is, we go through the Word of God, I've always said one of the things we want to look for as we do so are examples to follow. When we consider what Esther requested of Mordecai and all the Jews to pray and to fast, what a great thing to do. When we're in circumstances and situations like that, one of the greatest things that we can do is fall on our face before God. We seek Him. That is extremely wise counsel. And what Esther told Mordecai to do was one of the wisest things she could have done. You pray for me as I'm getting ready to do this. Whether I'm going is that's already answered. I am going to go into the presence of the king. Don't know what's going to happen, but you and all the Jews pray for me as I make this journey to be in God's will, to see what I can do. Now, folks, one of the things I want us to understand is that anytime that you're on a journey for the Lord and anything that he wants you to do, there are going to be obstacles. Did you hear me? There are going to be obstacles. It would have been easy at this particular point for Esther to say, man, there's no way. I'm not going into the presence of the king, because that's against the law. He didn't summons me. I'm just not going to do it. You guys are on your own. And to consider that Esther was actually in a really good position. She was a queen. She was in the castle. She had a whole lot more protection than the rest of the Jews had. She had a whole lot more protection than Mordecai had. So it would have probably been pretty easier for her to say, hey, guys, look, you're on your own. But she didn't do that. She, being a Jew and being one of God's chosen herself, said, okay, look, these are my people. This is what's going on. I am going to go into the presence of the king. If I die, well, then it wasn't meant for me to go there. But just maybe, this is why I've come to the kingdom, for such a time as this. Now, it's important for each and every one of us to have a Mordecai in our lives who's going to encourage us to live out the faith with courage that God has placed within us. Folks, I cannot stress it enough. The things that God's going to call you to do are going to call for courage. It's going to call for you to have to step up. It's going to call for you to go against the grain of a world that hates the master. And the question is, are you going to have strong enough faith, and are you going to have enough courage by which to do so? Now, Esther did. You know, Esther prayed and fasted. I'm sure it was a scary moment for her. I'm sure it was scary all the way to the point where she walked up to the doorway to have an audience or to request an audience with the king. I mean, she knew at that particular moment that the king could have said, nah, and at that point, she would have been done. She would have been dead. But yet, because she was doing what God had called her to do, because God had a plan, when Esther approached the courts, the king extended the scepter, and he had an audience. She had an audience with him. Folks, I believe with all my heart that God has divine appointments for each and every one of us. And I don't think that they're just far and few between. I believe that each and every day, each and every encounter that we have with the people in our lives are divine appointments. Somebody that needs that word of encouragement from us. Somebody that we need that word of encouragement from. You know, a moment ago, I asked you, you know, do you feel like it's important to have a Mordecai in your life who's going to encourage you to live out the faith that you have in Christ and to be courageous as you do so? I believe we all need a Mordecai in our lives. Matter of fact, if you can find more than one, that's always better to have more than one. And as I consider that, maybe you just thought about a name. Maybe there is a Mordecai in your life. Can you think of somebody in your life that has been a spiritual encourager to you? That person who has had your back, that person who has been in your corner from day one, and they've done it, and you look at them and you say, man, I wish I had the walk that they had, or these are people that I know I want praying for me because when they pray, they get God's attention. I hope and trust and pray that you have at least one of those people in your life, the ones that we would label as Mordecais, that can be that encourager for you, that can help strengthen your faith and help strengthen you as you stand courageously against the world that hates the master. Who is that person in your life? Yeah, if not, maybe you need to look for one, because I promise you that God is putting somebody in your path to be that Mordecai. Maybe it's somebody at church. Maybe it's a good friend. Maybe it's a neighbor. But I'll promise you this, you'll never find a better place to locate a Mordecai than in the church. I will promise you that. Because you know what? It takes some dedication to show up. It takes some heart to show up. In a lot of cases, it takes some courage to show up in the house of the Lord, to grow in our knowledge of Him, to grow in our faith, and to grow in strength. So if you're looking for a Mordecai, let me give you a clear plan, a clear place to start. Start in the church. That is where your Mordecais are built up. You know what we need to do today? We need to pray that God is going to clearly reveal His plan for each and every one of us, and that He will give us the faith and the courage to act on His plans. I can promise you that the majority of those plans, you're not going to look at and go, oh, okay, this is great, let's do it. I guarantee you they'll be challenging. I guarantee you that it will take courage on your behalf to fulfill and to see through the plans that God has for you. But oh, what great plans they will be. If you didn't get a chance to finish reading what happened in this particular story of Esther, I want to encourage you to do so, because God turned this thing completely around. I'll give you a little sneak peek. When it came down to it, if you remember, Haman actually built gallows to be able to do public hangings of the Jews. And if I'm thinking right, don't quote me on this, I think they were like 60 feet tall. And in the end, after Esther was used by God in that situation, Haman was the one himself who was hanged from the gallows that he built to hang the Jews. God has a way of making his plans work out with or without you. I like actually what Mordecai said. Mordecai said, if you don't do it, somebody else will. If you're not going to be that person, God is going to send somebody else. I love the faith by which, he made that statement. You know, he's saying, you know what? But I think, Esther, for right now, I believe it's you. I believe God has put you in the kingdom for such a time as this. So before we have that prayer, let me go ahead and give you what your Bible readings for this week will be. This week, we're actually going to be looking at Esther chapter 6 through Esther chapter 10. That's Esther chapter 6 through Esther chapter 10. And next week, we're going to discuss Sleepless in Persia from Esther chapter 6, verses 1 through 13. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we close our Bible study today. Father, as we come to you, we thank you so much for the fact that you still use your people to accomplish your will. Lord, as we read about Queen Esther and we read about Mordecai and Haman, we can see ourselves as somewhere along the way in that spectrum. But Lord, we thank you that you still want to use your people to accomplish your will. Lord, we read the story of how you placed Esther in such a position, queen, to be able, in fact, even with the enemy, you placed her as a queen, even with the enemy, so that your will might be accomplished. Lord, we pray for the Hamans of the world. Lord, we pray that they would turn to you. But if not, Lord, we're so grateful that you have plans and purposes by which to be able to deal with them. Lord, I pray for each and every one of us that you would give us not only the strong faith, but the courage to be able to stand in the midst of the persecutions that we will have to go through to accomplish your will, to accomplish what you have called us to do. So, Lord, give us an extra special portion of your grace, and Lord, bless us, and as we read in the prayer of Jabez, bless us indeed, bless us in a supernatural way as we go about doing your work your way. So Father, give us a great week. Send us to somebody who needs to hear the story of Jesus. May we truly be encouragers to those who just need somebody to tell them they love them. Help us to be that person. Lord, may we be representation of you in the lives of those people who truly need you, not only this week, but always. But Lord, we do ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, folks, listen, thank you again for joining us. We want to wish you from the pastor and staff and support staff of Central Baptist Church, we want to wish you a very happy new year. We trust and pray that 2023 is going to bring some very, very special blessings to you as you seek and as you follow the Lord. And as always, if you happen to be in the Oak Ridge, North Carolina area, we would love to have you join us at Central Baptist Church. We're located at 1715 Highway 68 North. In Oak Ridge, North Carolina. Our service time is 10:45. If you have a chance, you're in the area, we would love to see you. And if not, we look forward to seeing you here once again next week as we continue a study in God's Word. God bless you. Have a great week and Happy New Year.